But it's amazing to me how smart mom and dad are when they start having kids. Say amen. And all of a sudden, mom and dad, maybe they're a little smarter than I thought they were. Oh, come on. The truth is that we were smarter than our parents, and our kids are smarter than us. Oh, come on. How many ever got away with something, or you thought you did? How many got busted every time? I did too. I don't know. That wasn't very good. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which shortly must come to pass. And he sent his angel, signifying unto John. How many knows that when it comes to a servant, God will reveal himself in revelation. Now notice the revelation doesn't come to the world, but to the servants of God. That's why, listen, if somebody has a revelation about Jesus, they need to be born again. Come on. There's a lot of church-going folks, but how many have accepted Christ in their life? I've heard some newscasters one time, and it's just blasting the Bible. Well, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. All of a sudden, like he was like this special person with all the revelation. He didn't have any revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit must reveal it unto us. If you think about John the Revelator, think about what God was going to show him. The end of times, what was going to happen in the last days. How many of you need to be in the spirit for those things? But I want you to know, as a servant, God will bring a revelation to you. How many of you can know? You can hear the scripture, God so loved the world, and God could expand that so deep in your heart. How many believe that? How many believe that God can speak a word and take you on a journey? All of a sudden, something share with you, and it sparks something else that was in your heart. I mean, is that even like, we don't really know how much we have in us till we start bringing it out of us. And sometimes when you begin to share with somebody else, all of a sudden it begins to flow out, or God fills your mouth with things. I mean, those revelation can come. When God sent his son, he sent, listen, John, he goes, I want you to know this revelation. And listen to me, the book of Revelation has a lot of things in it, but you always have to remember, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. When you keep him in the forefront on every chapter, you'll see it all ties together and makes sense. Now, in this world, there are some cataclysmic things that will take place. There is no doubt about it. It seems like everything is lining up today. Listen to me, I believe we're in the last days. I really personally do. But how much all the more the church needs to be ready? How much we need to be ready? Ready to meet our God. Hallelujah. In Matthew 13, verse 11, if you take notes, he said this about the kingdom. He said unto them, because it's written unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to them it's not. He's saying, listen to me, he's beginning to speak to his disciples, begin to share with them the spiritual truths. That's why, well, listen, when you become born again, the scriptures all come alive. But the Holy Spirit leads you to repentance. That's why when people twist the scriptures, I want you to know, you don't know the truth about them. I've heard a lot of people quote the Psalm 23, but how many are actually living it? How many of us, we got to live what we read? Amen. In Daniel 2, verse 22, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in darkness because light dwells in him. I love that. The deep things of God, God will share with you. If you'll spend time with him, he'll speak to you. He'll share with you. And he won't share something strange either. There's no new revelation. It's just expounding on what's already written. And you know what? There's so much in Scripture that we need to understand. Come on. God can break it down for us. I believe this with all my heart. You can study this all your life and still just scratch the surface on all that God has. In my devotion today, my mom's been passed away for many years now. Before she passed on, she said, you know what? I really have this in my heart. I'm going to blink, and one day you're going to be there too. She understood the scripture that a day is like 1,000 years. It isn't 1,000 years, but it's like that. How many knows that in that time frame, when you remove all that, it'd be like every person who enters into eternity is just like a moment there, a moment there. That's how much joy and peace. So for her, it is true. Whether it's 1 year, 20 years, or 100 years, it's like that. It may be this frame of time frame, but the truth is that it's so quick, it's so joyful there that you lose all track of that. How many of us, that's pretty neat? And how many of us, that you don't want to leave that area? I believe with all my heart, one of the greatest benefits of heaven will be eternal life. For the believer, that's going to be unbelievably awesome. For those who don't know, eternal life will be the greatest, one of the greatest punishments ever. Because you'll never get out of that situation. Can you imagine burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and knowing that the only reason you're there is because of you? No one can blame God for anybody that doesn't make it to heaven. He's done everything he possibly could, even giving of his own life. To me, you have to step over Jesus to go to hell. You have to reject him. How many of us, that's a scary thought to realize that you can reject him even unto death. Listen, when we have the prayer meeting coming up in November, in your bulletin, you'll see it this week on Sunday. There's a card in there. I want you to put down your siblings, your relatives. If you need another sheet of paper, staple it to it, do that. That way when we come and pray, if it's laying on the altar, I pick it up, I'll pray for them. If this person picks it up, they'll pray for them. That all our families are prayed over and over and over and over. I believe in prayer. Somehow God reached us in this room. I don't know how he did, but he did. And somehow we were all smart enough to say yes to him. Say amen. So the truth is that there are still so many more God wants to save. To me, the only reason it hasn't all rolled up and we're all gone is because people still need to get saved. And God is slow to anger. He's gracious. He's patiently waiting. But we need to do our job. He'll do his. We need to do ours. One of our jobs is to pray. How many agree there? When it comes to a servant, listen to me. We are his possession. Since he's now Lord, we now have him as our Lord. And I love being owned. Now, that may seem so contradictory, then the world has to know. I'm not talking about a slave here. But I belong to him. I have a family. How many of us, that's great to know that you have a family. That he, your ultimate creator, you finally know the purpose in life. You belong to him. You love him. That means, listen to me, you're no longer an orphan or a stranger or an outsider. You now can claim the rights of heaven because you're his kid. Think about all the great people that's ever been on the planet. There have been a lot of kings and queens that have been nominated here on earth. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you belong to him. That means whatever he has, you now have because you're his kids. Isn't that awesome? How many of us, we need to relish in that, to realize that maybe you don't have everything here. Maybe it always wasn't quite rosy, but you know what? You have God. And if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? Amen. And since you're going to inherit all things, that should have some joy in our hearts. Then I want to have a good journey on this planet, knowing I'm going to inherit all things. That is so awesome. The end of your life here is not the end of your life. It's just the beginning of all that God has. When I think about the streets of gold you'll walk on, how many think that if you could take the monetary value of that alone, that's more than all our wealth on this planet? And he'll have it as streets. He'll have one pearl. There's 12 of them in the New Jerusalem. Each gate is one pearl. I don't know how tall the gates are. But could you imagine one gate of pearl? What the value of that be? How about this? It says that every precious stone will be in the building. That's what makes up the bricks, is precious stone. Could you imagine light coming in and reflecting or refracting off all the precious stones? How beautiful that's going to be. The wealth of heaven is more than the wealth of this earth, and you're going to inherit it all. That's going to be your dwelling place. I mean, that's pretty flat awesome. No wonder Jesus said, don't get so attached to this place. You're worried about money. You're worried about value. I own this all. I own all of it. All the silver, all the gold, all of it is mine. I'm just letting you be a steward of it now. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to give you eternal life because I never want this relationship to be severed. I never want you to look at your watch and go, oh, I only got a little bit more time. If heaven was 1,000,000 years, we'd all be counting back. Oh, man, I only got this much left. But he's going to make sure that doesn't. He wants it without end. And I really don't know. Let's look in 1,000,000 years. What are we going to be doing in 1,000,000 years? I really don't know, but we're going to serve him. In 1,000,000,000 years, if I could think a billion years from now, I don't know, but we're going to be serving him. But somehow in God's heart and mind, I already have your eternity set forth. And we're going to enjoy it together. Isn't that fantastic? That's so fantastic. When you look at this life is like a vapor. Even if you live to be 100 plus years old, what is that compared to forever? We need to start looking and say, God, I'm looking to you. I'm not looking to go to heaven in this moment, but Lord, I'm on my way. Hallelujah. If you come now, I'm ready to go. But I'm going to occupy this time. How many want to know him more? When you belong to him, Revelation says, listen to me, it's a revelation he shows unto his servants. Well, he's showing those things. Not only that, by creation, he's calling us out saying, now you're born again. Everything you need now has been in that seed that God placed within you. You're purchased. You've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. And Jesus' blood was your price. The precious blood of Christ purchased you off the auction block of sin. And God said, you're mine now. And any punishment that you should have received because of your sin, Jesus took. That's a good deal. When we should have got hell, we got heaven. When we should have got the fullness of our sin, Jesus paid the price for that. We win. When people reject the only hope of salvation, I'm thinking to myself, where else do you have? And what else do you have? If this is all you have, believe me, it is so fleeting. And it's amazing to me when people are breathing their last, how much everything else really matters at that moment. Come on, it won't matter a bit. You came in with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. Third thing here is, as servants, we're going to have opposition. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. I haven't met a Christian yet that hasn't had opposition. I'm not a pastor to say once you get saved, all your problems are gone. I don't live that life. And if a pastor thinks he lives in that bubble, I'm here to tell you that's a fallacy too. But we're going to have opposition. Because now all of a sudden now we're of this earth, but we're not of it either. We're here, but we're not of it. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're here on the earth. We have a new spirit in our life. But the same struggles others have, you know what? Comes upon us. My refrigerator can break down. Yes. My car can need some repairs. Yep. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You may have a plumbing leak sometime. Mm-hmm. I know that we were ready to go on that trip with the seniors to Indiana there. And my wife comes out and goes, do you hear that? I go, hear what? He goes, I hear water dripping. I go, no, but I'll take a look. Went over to the living room. Sure enough, water's dripping through the ceiling. The pipe above it where the bathroom is sprung a leak. It filled the drywall up. Well, it was all full insulation, so it took quite a bit. Then it got so heavy, guess what happens after that? We were showered. We were ready to go. All the bags were packed. We were ready to get in the car. How many knows that the last thing you want to do is be working on your plumbing? Yeah. And there's never a shut off where you need it to be.
That's right. Yes.
I don't know why people didn't do that. If you got a water line, put a shut off on it.
Yep.
So I had to work that out, cut all the drywall off, take it off, mop the floor up, the carpet, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, sometimes it's just the way it is. True? How many knows it rains on the just and the unjust? It does. But don't make your problems a lifetime. This is all temporary. When I walk through these things, it's all temporary. I even speak that to myself. Even this will pass. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen, if you make it a lifetime, then it's a struggle every day. You have to face those things. I'm not denying that we don't go through it. But you know what? I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to walk through every valley and, Lord, every mountaintop. It seems to me the more valleys you go through, the better the mountaintop experience is. I've learned in the valley and I can take it up higher. Amen? And many times in the valley, you'll meet a whole lot more people. Amen? That means you can take them higher. When it comes to servants, there's, somebody say preservation. Today more than ever, we're trying to save trees. That's great. We're trying to save this. That's great. How about the servants of God? God will preserve you. Amen. Do you believe the Lord can keep you from falling? Yes. Do you believe the Lord can keep you from wrath to come? Yes. Yes or no? How many believe the Lord's able to preserve? Parents, what would you do for your kids to keep them out of danger? How many do just anything you could? If somebody was going to hurt your kids, what would you do? You'd do everything you could, wouldn't you? You would step in the way. You'd tell that bully to go. Listen, how much more God, who isn't a man that he should lie, help his kids? I think too many times we look at it and say, Lord, oh Lord, please, please, please. He wants to help us. I think we just need to invoke that. Lord, help me. Yes. Amen? Yes. Picture you as a parent. And you know you want to help your kids. Oh, mom, please help me, please help me, please help me, please help me. No, I'm going to help you. Sometimes we need to look at our relationship and say, you know what? If we'll do that as parents, how much more God? Sometimes it'll change some of our prayer time too. Instead of begging so much, just ask. Because if you love them, you'll do it for them. Now, if you're asking to consume it on the lust of your flesh, that's a different story. How many of the Lord can say no? Do you know no is an answer to prayer? I found the Lord answers three ways. Yes, no, later. But no is still an answer. Lord, do it. No. Sometimes we don't like no because no means possibly yes. Oh, I'm preaching now. How many of sometimes we're not satisfied with no? Oh, Lord, but you said, Lord, but you said. Every good thing he'll give unto you. I said every good thing will come your way. In Revelation chapter 7 verse 3 it says this. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we've sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Talking about the 144,000 will be in that day. God knows they are here. And listen to me. They're not Jehovah Witnesses either. They're 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. That means they're true Jews. Even though much of the Jewish heritage was lost during the Babylonian captivity, God still knows who are they from every tribe. Yep. Amen. And one day, 144,000 born-again Jewish believers are going to evangelize the area. Can you imagine 144,000 radical men sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in an area? It's going to make an impact. Hallelujah. So just make it clear. That's scriptural. Amen. When it comes to Daniel 6 verse 22, it says this, and God shut the angel was sent by God to shut the lion's mouth that it didn't hurt him because innocence was found in Daniel. You think God can shut even lion's mouths? Now, during this time when somebody was thrown into a lion's pit, they starved the lions so they were extra hungry. They also provoke them to be angry. So anyone who went in there was almost instantly killed. Now picture Daniel. He was innocent. He was charged guilty. The king's decree was anyone who does this gets stuck in there. Even the king couldn't sleep that night. And the first thing he did, first light, he came, Daniel, oh man of God, God has preserved you. He says, don't, king, live forever, I'm okay. In this room, how many of you would be a little fearful if you got stuck all night long in a hungry lion's den? Anybody here? Or I'm here, oh no, God's going to shut the lion's mouth. No problem, no problem at all. Let me jump right on in there. See, sometimes we make these great faith confessions until you're put in that situation. Like you can't even come to church on Sunday. And you think you're going to go into a lion's den? Oh, is that stepping on too many toes? Sometimes we think we're all out there so far. Boy, that'll preach. And all of a sudden he comes out and he's not a mark on him. And the king makes a new decree. Anyone who doesn't serve Daniel's God is being thrown in. And those who brought Daniel's harm were thrown in the lion's den. And before they even reached the bottom, they were devoured. How many think God will preserve his own? Listen, vengeance is not yours, it's the Lord's. When you step in there, you mess up the process. Give it to God. Even if somebody has wronged you, pray for them. Believe me, God will do justice. I would rather deal with you than the Lord in this arena. Amen. Give it over to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about an abusive situation. If somebody is abusing you, we need to know. I'm not talking about that. I've seen people in corporate situations step over individuals who are more deserving to get that job. How many knows the Lord will take care of that? I've seen people that are innocent spoken evil of, and people believe that. The Lord will deal with that. Just like Daniel. God will step up for you. Let it be the Lord's. I said, let it be the Lord's. I've also seen it in the house of God. I've seen people try to split churches. Not this one. But I've pastor friends where people try to split the church and take a certain amount with them, and God stepped in and did some stuff. Yep. How many knows the church is the Lord's? How many knows we don't want to fight against him? It should be a good reminder. Amen? I believe the offerings went up after Ananias and Sapphira. Amen? When it comes to God, God will bring his servants to completion. I said to completion. In Revelation 10, verse 7, says, in this day, the day of the voice of the Lord, the seventh angel began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished and declared to his servants, the prophets. I love this. That God will declare to his servants the mystery. And one day it will be full. Do you know one day this gospel will go around the world? Then the end will come. Every ear will have a chance to hear. Every person will have a chance to respond. Even through the great tribulation, as I've studied this, even there, the gospel is still proclaimed. Yes. Repent, repent, repent. So God will always have a witness in every generation. In our generation right now, we're the witness that shares the gospel. We're the living epistles. Before they've had us, and I don't know how long there's going to be after us, if there's any, but every generation, and I know this for a fact, in every workplace, there's a witness for Christ. Somebody, somewhere. It's amazing how God will raise up somebody. Every neighborhood, somewhere, there's a witness. Then, Lord, you're always going to have it there. In this country, believe me, you can have multiple witnesses. But we need to be that. Lord, let me share that gospel. Open the door for me to speak. People need to hear the good news. They can be forgiven. Don't you agree? Yes. How many of the gospel is good news? Yes. I know I was a sinner. Tell me some good news. How can I get out of this situation? Okay. Yes. When it comes to servants, servants will receive compensation for their labors. Jesus knows how to repay. In Daniel 12, verse 3, it says, they that are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmaments, and those that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Notice that even your countenance, your robe, will shine because of God's glory and also the adornment he will give you. That is so cool. He who wins souls is wise. God knows how to bless, and he knows how to keep your reward. No one's going to steal your reward in heaven. Well, how do I get a reward? A cup of cold water in Jesus' name will not go unnoticed. When some people may forget it, God will always remember. The time that you went in and didn't look like you just served, the Lord will bless that. I mean, there's a cup of cold water. Anyone in this room can do that. Yes or no? And to me, that's, man, we can do that. You can be a servant. You can serve. You can come in and greet somebody in the name of the Lord. I'm glad you're here without selfish motives. Some people do things to win favor. You just come in because you love people. I'm going to serve. How many of us that'll reap your reward? The things that you did, the little kind words you spoke, Jesus said, when you've done it on the least of these, you've done it unto me. When you go to the nursing home or go downtown and help hugs or anything, help with the food or gave in this offering, all that will receive a reward. Listen, a reward's coming to you. When Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant, he will single you out and bless you accordingly. Isn't that great? See, when the disciples said, Lord, let me sit on your right and on your left, he said, that's not for me to give, that's of my Father. But if you want to be greatest, learn to be a servant of all. Then he picked up a child and says, you need to enter the kingdom of God like this child. Now he was speaking to people who were a little older. Not that you have to be a child, but childlike faith. Trust your Father. How much do we need to trust our Father, no matter how old we are physically? We're still his kids. Lord, I need to trust you. This service here, you will be rewarded for your faithfulness. Isn't that so cool? God will remember your time here and every time you've been faithful to him. That is so awesome. Then, Lord, let me be there. You will never regret the times you spent with the Lord on this planet. Never. Every time we have a service, I never look at it like, well, there's another service. No, it's another time to be with God. Lord, I want more to experience your goodness. Is this good today? I mean, is that a reap a reward? The little things you've done from maybe singing or greeting or working in a nursery or helping with children or picking up papers or handing out bulletins or sharing your faith, all this that's done for him will reap a reward. Let me share the other side. If you do it for personal things, to win selfish gain, or to lift up yourself, you can still be saved, but that works will be burned up. That's called hay, wood, and stubble. Nothing that defiles will enter in. You'll be saved because of Christ. It'll be tried by fire. So all our works will be tried by fire. That which is good, like gold, will remain. But that which can be burned up will be gone. Say amen. It'd be like this. Brother, I'm going to pray for you. But you're real. Brother, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, look, at pastor's going to pray for Greg. That's so awesome. But the only reason I got loud was because so everyone could hear it. You have your reward. That will not reap anything. Good job. That's all you get. But if it's like, no, I'm going to pray for him. Even praying for people in secret, God will still reward you for. And I believe we need to do that more. Pray for people. Not that you're hiding your prayers, but pray for people. Maybe they don't even know you're praying for them. That's a good thing. Then when you have an opportunity, say, hey, man, how's things going? I've been praying for you. Not for selfish gain, but to build them up and encourage them. Can we all do that? To me, the most unselfish thing you can do is consider the needs of others. Did Jesus do that for us? Think about it. None of us were beaten and going to a cross and having a crown of thorns put on our head, our face beaten worse than a hammocker, 39 stripes on our back, whipped, you name it, beaten, and then die on a cross, and he says, forgive them all. Come on! If we think that we're all that, Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. That's why he deserves to be rewarded as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. That's why every foe, listen to me, every foe, everything will be brought under his feet and he will present it to the Father as a finished kingdom. Every enemy, every foe, every sin, everything will be brought before him. Are you enjoying today? How many want to have more rewards? Then let's check our motive on what we do. Then you don't have to go around like this. I want a reward. I want a reward. I want a reward. What can I do? Get a reward. I want a reward. Where's the reward? No, just be you like Christ. Just be like Jesus. Look for opportunities. Even my own father that wasn't saved, he taught me this. When you come into a room and you can make it better, why don't you? I mean, that wasn't far from the kingdom. And he would test us as kids. He would leave a piece of paper on the floor, obvious, crumpled right in the middle where you're gonna walk. And he would see, will anybody pick that up or not, or just keep walking over it? I remember seeing it and walking over it. Just walk right over it. It ain't mine, I didn't put it there. And then at the dinner table, he'd go, you know what? Did you see that piece of paper on the floor? I put it there. But I was kind of looking to see if any of you would pick it up. Say amen. Sometimes the obvious we kind of let slip. Let's not make the obvious slip. If something's, pick it up. Throw it away. Don't look for a reward. God will reward you. Do you know even taking care of his house, he'll reward you? In the Old Testament, he said this, you all live in nice homes and palaces, but my house is a shamble. Take care of my house, I'll take care of yours. How many of you can't outgive God? I love God's house, I really do. I show great respect for this place. Not that it's just brick and mortar and wood and all that, but it's where God's house is. It's where God's people. So we try to make it as best we can. Amen? Hallelujah. For notes here. There's recognition for the servant. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, and they sung the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works. Great God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of saints. What I marvel about this is that it's in Revelation. It's a few thousand years after Moses, but Moses is still recognized. Those who went on before us are not dead. They're still alive. Adam is still alive. Joshua is still alive. Moses is still alive. They're just with him. Notice God will recognize even thousands of years later people who have been his and have served him. That's good news for all of us. Amen. That in a few thousand years, you'll still be recognized, no matter what society is going on. Isn't that cool? He said, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, remember, I don't know what it's like a million years from now, but we're going to serve him. I don't know what it's like a billion years from now, but we're going to serve him. If I look at a few thousand years compared to eternity, even that's a drop in a bucket. But God always recognized. What I marvel about this portion of Scripture is God remembers those who are faithful. And he recognized. How many in here are going to be blown away when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. How many of you are like, oh Lord, here's the crown. Oh Lord, it's because of you. We'll all do that. How many agree? And we'll bow down and say, Lord, because of you. But he's going to honor you before his Father and all his holy angels. That gives you that proper prominence that God wants to do that. Just by living for him, he will recognize you forever. And then the other sad fact of is this. For those who don't, depart from me. I never knew you. Your remembrance will be gone. You have a short time here on the earth, but it's over. Even those who thought they were popular or so-called celebrities, it's amazing in a few years how nobody knows who that is. And then you got to look them up in history. What I love about Jesus is that it's living and active. Moses isn't just in the history books, he's also in the future. Hallelujah. He's also in the future. God will keep you always current. Oh, that's good stuff today, Pastor. Woo! How many want to be recognized? I wasn't the one that got picked first on the teams. Many times I was the last one between me and that other kid. Okay, I'll take him. And you kind of went like, you always been like this. Because you were the last ones. You couldn't hide it. Wasn't the tallest, wasn't the fastest, wasn't that. But you know what? When I got put on the team, I did the best I could. Maybe you weren't picked first. Maybe you were picked last. But God's going to pick you first. It's amazing how when God assembles his team, he doesn't look at stature. He doesn't look at favor. He looks at the heart. I want you on my team. I want you on my team. I want you on my team. I got picked on his team. When the prophet came out to anoint a new king, Jesse brought all his sons from the oldest almost to the youngest. Mighty men, great stature. Many of them were in the military. Prime candidates for the new kingdom. No doubt about it. In the natural, they were good looking, strong men, trained for war. And God said, none of them. You got any more kids? Yeah, but he's a little guy. He's out in the field tending to the sheep. We won't eat until he bring him in. When he comes in, God said, that's the one. Isn't it amazing God knows the one?
Yes.
He knows the one, the one, the one, the one, the one, the one. Anoint him to be king. Could you imagine being the older brother and your little brother who's just a little runt out there that's making all kinds of noise, always a bother, that's not even in home with the people. He's got to be out in the field feeling neglected. He gets to be anointed king, and you have to take it. Hallelujah. Imagine the jealousy in that family. It showed when David went out and they were dealing with Goliath. Hey, who's watching the sheep? What are you doing here? Get back home. And then David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's defiling the armies of Israel? The only one who's man enough to stand to it. Let me say this to you. Much of your perfection will be done in secret, dealing with the lion, dealing with the bear. When you deal with those two, you'll be able to face your giants. Amen? You'll use your sling and your bow or whatever you have, and you'll get useful with that to take on the next obstacle. That's why I never forsake the youth either. Train up in the way they should go. Are you enjoying tonight? Amen. When it comes to servants, you're going to receive restitution. Somebody say restitution.
Restitution.
How many in here have ever had something stolen from you? How many ever had a car stolen? Let me see that. Motorcycle, something of value. I've had that a couple times in my life. I've came out and go, I parked it right there. And I remember one time, the last time I got a vehicle stolen, I actually walked around the whole perimeter of this place. And I came back, no, I know I parked it right there. And it's not so much they took the vehicle, it's what was in the vehicle that always bummed me out. My Bible was in there. I want my Bible back. I got a lot of notes in there. Amen. Maybe they'll read it, get saved, and put it back in there. I don't know. But I remember feeling like, you know what, now what do I got to do? I got to deal with the insurance company, I got to deal with this, now I got to find a vehicle. You know what? One day God will bring it all back. He doesn't need to bring my van back or my cars back, but restitution's coming for the kingdom. Whatever the enemy may have stolen, it's going to come back. Health is going to come back. No more sickness and disease. What Adam lost, Jesus paid the total price in restitution. We've experienced everything but the healing, the change of bodies, we still decay. Jesus said the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. Now, I want to have a good journey like you all, true? But even with a good journey, cells break down. One day you're going to breathe your last. But even that provision's been made up. The next life, no more death. Isn't that awesome? Total restitution is coming to the believer. But for those who forsake him, everything they have will be taken away from them and they'll never get anything back. Terrible feeling. Amen? Kind of sobering, isn't it? Lord, let me walk with you. That's why I prayed, Lord, if somebody steals something, touch them, God. Touch them. Lord, you bring in what's needed in that situation. I pray that people can come to know him and know that he's Lord, amen? Which leads me to this. Servants one day will get an inscription. Your name will be written down. How many knows the Lamb's Book of Life is real? When he searches for your name, he's going to look to see if it's there. Is your name written in the book? It's the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone who is saved will be in that book. When it's printed, it's sealed. Anyone here been invited to a wedding before? What do you usually get ahead of time of a wedding? An invitation, correct? Now, I heard this the other day. Most people are not responding to invitations anymore. Because we have so much to respond to, people are not even responding anymore. How many of you still got to respond to the? Yeah. Why? It shows respect. It also tells them if you're able to come or not so they can make accommodations. You've been invited to the kingdom of God. You've gotten an invitation. Firsthand, sometimes multiple times. If you said yes, you're on the guest list. When you said yes to Jesus, your name's written in the book. Now you're there, you're official. Now God can plan on everything it's needed for your eternity. Including your place at the table. It is so awesome. When people blow off the moves of God, when they don't care about the next life, the eternity, what you're saying is that I don't care about what's next. It doesn't matter if I'm separate from God. I don't care. I'm my own Lord. I'm doing my own thing. Well, you can do that. No doubt about it. Go all out. Do it. But when you breathe your last, you'll miss out. That's why nobody will sit in a seat that isn't theirs. You even have the angelic host watching over that thing. Scripture had it clear. A man came in without a wedding garment. Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness. They give it as an illustration that no one's going to take your place. God's going to restore even things. Well, let's make it personal here. How many here, when you live for your own self, you did your own thing? Let me see your hand. How many sinned in here once? Twice? 10 times? How many blew it? You knew you blew it. How many wish if you could go back, you'd be a lot smarter, you wouldn't have done this? How many of us, we all have that? Well, you can't. Well, the Bible says it's like worms that have eaten. But God says, I'm able to change, even restore what the worms have eaten in your life. Isn't that cool? None of us got our full harvest of sin. None of us would be here. God tempered that harvest. But now he wants to restore. Then, Lord, restore all things. Now, here's a true fact. And I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I'm going to be honest with you. If you lived a life of drugs all your life, your body probably has some scars to it. Yes or no? Sometimes our self-inflicted wounds are still there even after we're saved. Thank God God saved us, but sometimes there are challenges with that. Would you agree? So we just can't go, well, Jesus, presto, here we go. Sometimes there's a reaping and sowing area. But even with that, God's still able to bring it back. But I love this when he writes down my name. I have a right to sit at that table, whatever table it is, because I responded, hallelujah. He accepted my response. I paid it in full. Isn't that cool? And one day, there's your seat, and no one's going to take it. Ooh, lights on. Ooh, there it is. Ooh. Come take a seat. Ooh, and all the people with you. Ooh. It's awesome. And you'll like your attire, too. We're talking about the finest of robes. The finest. Many will be arrayed in different crystal like gold or and diamonds and rubies. It says that you're going to shine brighter than the sun. It has to be something that can reflect pretty good because he's pretty bright. Hallelujah. The crown of life which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give. Thank you, Jesus. Man, it's so awesome. We live so temporal today. I'm here to occupy, but man, our citizenship is in heaven. We're just here for a time to share, to be that witness, to love on our God. Amen. I'll close with this. When it comes to our servants, we live a life of consecration. When it comes to consecration, it says this in Revelation 22, verse 3, there'll be no more curse. Picture the earth without a curse. Cursed was the ground in Adam's day. No more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I believe this with all my heart. There isn't one person in here that won't give 100% in serving him. Would you agree? How many of you, if the Lord himself says, I want you to go do this, how many be like, I'm on it? You'll do it. You'll finish it. You'll do it with great joy. You'll finish the task. Do you agree with me? Notice the consecrated life we'll have. It starts now. We start learning now. We start to learn to be loyal, to have affection towards him, a thoroughness in what we do. We serve Christ as we serve one another. In John 13, verse 14 says this, if then I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's. Notice that he said, listen to me, there's no task that's above you or below you. You do it. If I did it, you can do it. And I'm Lord of all. The God of the universe washed dirty people's feet. And many times when people didn't even think about it, he was serving. Amen? And Jesus taught them this. Sometimes they always looked at their provision versus their God. Jesus said, they've been with me all day. If I send them away now, many of them will faint on the journey because sometimes they came for a couple days. What do you got to eat? Lord, we only have a few loaves and fishes. Make them sit down in companies of 50s and 100s. He wanted to feed them before they left. His disciples looked at their provision and said, we don't have enough for that. Sometimes we just look at what we have and not our God and whom it can we that can do the multiplying. I mean, sometimes you need to put a demand upon that. What if you were the one that got fed? Maybe you were. How many want to be it? How many want to be this type of servant? Then we have to sanctify today. Lord, change my mind. My nature is selfish by nature. I'm selfish by nature. Then, Lord, I want that to change. How many want to be great in the kingdom of God? And don't be so humble like, no, I don't want to be great there because I want to be humble. Come on. How many want to be great in the kingdom? Jesus said, it's possible, but this is the route. How many believe when you get to heaven, if there's something that needs to be done, it'll be done for one another? Now, I don't know this yet, but wherever you dwell there, it's a real place. Heaven's a real place. If you want to know what it's like, this earth is a copy of really what's there. What if somebody had to show you where you're going to live? Because you're not going to just all stand around like this all day long. That ain't where it is. Well, what do we do now? Just stand there. Okay, everybody take one step forward. All right, tomorrow we're going to take one more step forward. Isn't this great and grand? No, I don't know if himself will show you. But what if somebody said, hey, I'll make up a name. Joan is on her way here. They're all ready and waiting, celebrating. When you get there, they give instruction on where to go. Because what are you going to do? All of a sudden, you walk from this life to that life. You're going to know it all? I don't buy that. God will show you and he'll lead you. Amen? Now, what if a servant would say, I want you to go meet Joan and take her to the city. Take her to here. How many would be like, cool. How many would do it with great joy? Amen? My mom showed the reality of this when she was passing from this life. She knew that her father, which he was saved, they were tipped off my mother was coming home. Because before she breathed the last, she says, they're waiting for me. And she began to list some of the family members that made it. I just closed my eyes and I just, Mom, I can't see that, but tell me what you see. She said, I see it's just beautiful and the sounds are so incredible. And she began to name them off. It's like she could see in the spirit her last moments here. I mean, that's just flat awesome. And she said, it's real. She said this, there's no more curse. Everything is so perfect. There's no more curse. It comes alive in the conversations. Hallelujah. Now, for their end, for my end, it's sorrow. You're leaving. For their end, it's great joy. They're coming home finally. We're in between the mix. We want them, but we know they're in a far better place. Hallelujah. How many of those are in a far better place? So notice, heaven is tipped off. angels are tipped off. They all know it's all working together. When you breathe your last, you're not going to be alone as a believer. God will come for you. Hallelujah. Since he's so smart, he will get you there. And I kind of hope it's a slow ride there. Amen? I kind of like want to take time, get up there, watch everything go by. Thank you, Lord. Woo, here we go. Amen? Now, I haven't had an out-of-body experience where I look down at my body and there it is. I haven't. But I don't know. Maybe it'll be quick as lightning. Who knows? But one day we'll all find out. I said, one day we'll all find out. But I have been on the other side of the equation too. I have been on the deathbed of people who didn't know the Lord that refused to get their life right. And I've heard this screams like this. It is real. This is real. I see the burning. I feel the pain. And I'm going into those flames and their life snuffed out like that. And then just sit there like this and, oh man. Oh, and just like inside my heart's just racing like, oh man, it is real. Jesus said it was real. He talked more about hell than he did heaven. For warning, for this is reality. The worm doesn't die. It's a pain, a place of suffering and pain. Repent and turn from this. It was never created for man. Never. Never created for man. That's why when man goes there, it's going to be unbelievably awful. But yet we in disobedience reject the only hope of salvation. What is left? You died in your sins, and he's a holy God. He's not going to go to heaven. Listen to me. There'll be nobody in heaven that he goes, well, you didn't accept my son. It's okay. Jesus did not die in vain. And if we get the picture right like we should, here's where people blow it. Well, God's not going to send anyone to hell. You're absolutely right. We send ourselves. We package ourselves. We do everything ourselves. He's made a way. He said, I am the way. How can a sinful person stand in the presence of a holy God when every part of my life has been sinful? How many words have you all spoken already in your life? How many thoughts have you already had? How many deeds have you already done? Could you imagine giving an account of every word you ever spoke? Every word. Even the ones you can't remember. How many think that would be like volumes? That'd be like libraries. That's what it's like when somebody is finally judged. It's not one sin. It's not one mistake. That's enough. But the Bible says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. Notice the books are plural. That means your life is brought before you. That man's without an excuse. No one can say they went to hell because of Jesus. They went because they separated themselves from a living God. They rejected the only hope of salvation. Now, God forbid we had to evacuate this room. Say that was the only way out. How many would want to go that way? Yes or no? You couldn't go any other way out. You could only go that way. How many would go that way? See, the devil will say there's that exit, and there's that exit, and there's that exit. There's many ways to God. Jesus said, I am the way. You have to go through that door. Because he's the only one. No religious person has ever died for somebody else's sins. Hallelujah. They may have died, but they died not for me, not for you. And isn't it amazing that every God we made on this earth has passed away because of their flesh? Why don't we ever look at that? They're just flesh. Jesus said, you can't find my bones and body. I just rented that tomb for a couple days. It was borrowed. Amen. That's not my place. That's just borrowed. Hallelujah. You enjoy tonight? God speak to you. Amen. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, that we truly want to be servants as you've called us to. Lord, it's like a good refresher reminder that even a cup of cold water will not go without a reward. And Lord, you said it's the simplest things we can do and still be blessed. Lord, how much more that we pray for one another and encourage one another. Lord, we can all do that. Father, help us to be mindful that, Lord, wherever we travel, we can be a servant. That, Lord, most of all, we can serve you. And Lord, I know tonight by their presence here, they're serving you. And then we serve with one another. So Lord, let your blessing remain upon your people. Lord, meet every need in each home. Lord, remind us of your word. Go with the strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for your time tonight. God bless you.